This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
Come on, somebody lift up your voice unto Him. For He is in this house. He is near right now. Psalms chapter 60, verse 4. Turn quickly to the Word of God this morning. What an honor it is to be preaching to such wonderful people today. Good to have some dear friends of mine here with us this morning, the Isles and the Deasons. Some great friends of ours throughout the years, and we're so thankful to have Sabree's family with us today. I know Sabree is overwhelmed this morning. Amen. And all of our guests, we're so glad to be that you are here this morning. If I do my job today, if I accomplish what God has given me in this message, you will never forget this passage in your Bible. That is my goal today, for you never to forget this passage I'm about to read. Psalms chapter 60, verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Let's put our Bibles down and once again lift up the name of Jesus before we're seated this morning. Lord Jesus, so grateful that you're here today. Lord, help me to deliver this word as you've given it to me. I pray, God, let every ear hear your voice today. I pray, God, that you would walk up and down these aisles and speak to our hearts. I pray, mighty God, that we will respond to your spirit and respond to your word. And let every person in this house be blessed. Lord, we want to leave this house filled. We want to leave this house, God, knowing that we've touched heaven. And I pray right now that we would reach out and touch you right now as you are walking down these aisles. Let us reach and grab a hold of the things of God this morning. Come on, let us not be afraid. Let us not be intimidated. I bind every spirit of fear. I bind every spirit that would try, Lord, and come against us right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I loose your anointing. I loose the power of the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, somebody help me loose something in this house. Come on, let's loose the power of God in this place right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. We live in a time where everyone is fighting for equality. It seems everyone is forming some type of organization to be vocal concerning the rights to their agenda. The list is very, very vast, and whether it be for animals or whether it be for marriage, whether it be for abortion or guns, people are becoming very outspoken in this day and hour that we live in. At times, even militant and violent. I believe without a doubt that history is simply repeating itself. You see, for this nation was born by a group of people that became active in a harbor in the year of 1773. Sister Dean, if you'll help. Behind me, if you look at this photo, because of attacks on tea in the year 1773, this body of individuals raided a ship and began to throw this expensive commodity into the Boston Harbor, fanning the flames of the American Revolution. And from that day until now, this nation has had a history of being changed many times by different protests and different by just people getting together to protest against the powers that be. I want us to look at some today. This is the next picture, Sister Dina. This happened in 1963. It was called the Great March on Washington. This was a political rally that fought for civil and economic rights for black Americans, and we celebrate that this month. This was when somebody stood up, a man by the name of Martin Luther King, and he began to give his speech about how he had a dream. And so we see this reoccurrence happening in our nation. It happened again on October 15, 1969. Next slide. This was a protest against the Vietnam War, and thousands showed up on Capitol Hill to protest their cause against fighting in the Vietnam War. And through the years of American history, we've had women that stood up in the 20s and in the 50s and 60s and the 70s, And they were fighting and protesting for their equality, for equal rights. And not just in the United States of America, but we see this trend forming around this world throughout the recorded history, life-changing marches. In 1979, next slide, we see the Iranian Revolution forcing, these group of people got together and they actually forced the Shah to leave Iran and leave for exile in it. They placed another leader for their government. What about the Tiananmen Square protests of 1989, where we've seen the picture of a man who stood in front of these tanks and would not refuse to move. And when the tanks would turn to the right or to the left, he got right in the way. And it not only did it, he would not let them pass by, but as these groups of people begin to form in the township of Beijing, and they formed a body of people and begin to protest against their government. Not only did we see the downfall of that government in China, but we also seen the downfall of many communist governments throughout Eastern Europe. Here recently, we've seen the Egyptian revolt. Next slide, Dina. In 2011, we've seen protesters in Egypt forcing the president to resign. We've seen this just a few years ago. And so mankind, thank you, Sister Dina, mankind has repeated this throughout history. And it's not going to end. We will see more banners. We will see more signs. We will see more flags waving. And whether it's for the good or for the bad, these outbreaks of the general public have altered thoughts, and they have altered laws, and they have altered even our government. History is also repeating itself with the rise of the homosexual movement, marching on our capital to cry out for the rights. Has this, maybe you're asking, has this ever happened in our history? Yes, it has. It happened way back. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 18. We see history repeating itself because the Bible says in verse 20, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is great, very grievous, God looked down at this group of people that were given over to that lifestyle, and the cry was so loud." We read in verse 21, the scripture says, God says, "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it." So we see this trend repeating over and over again. We're treading on dangerous waters right now in America. This world is reeling and it's rocking. This world is crying out, but they're crying for the wrong reasons. They're crying out of rebellion. They're crying out of new revolution. They're wanting to see some changes made. And we are treading on such dangerous waters because all these rallies, for the most part, they're promoting sin. So as we look at our world this morning, we see the signs. We see the flags waving. We see the banners. Rock stars have their gestures, and they have their symbols of the occult. You can see them in the concerts as they begin to praise their God as the music is thumping. And they have this occult symbolism all plastered on the CD and CD covers of their albums. The athletes have tattooed on their arms and on their legs and on their bodies what has inspired them to reach the pinnacle of their sport. We see the signs. We see the flags. We see teenagers have on the walls of their rooms posters of their idols, of their rock stars, of their superheroes, of their actors and actresses. We see soldiers in our world raise up fists and AK-47s to show their loyalty to a regime and their dictator. We see large parades of men and women carrying rainbow flags. It seems to be fluent throughout our major cities. I think we ought to be concerned. I said, I think we ought to be concerned. You see, my question this morning, I'm not really worried about the protests that are going on in our world today as much as I am worried about what happens in this place this morning.
That's right.
As I'm worried about what's happening in our churches across America. You see, where are the Pentecostals? Where are the apostolics? Where are the Christians of our world? We see it every once in a while. I see Christians trying. You see it at our ball games. Here is a playoff game between the New York Jets and the San Diego Chargers. And here I see a Christian trying to, as he's cheering his team on, trying to maybe send a message with his shirt, John 3:16. You also see it in other places. Next slide, Dina. Here it is in the World Series. A catcher is celebrating after his pitcher has just struck out this batter. And we see in the background a Christian holding up John 3:16. Next slide. We see it in another World Series championship in 2010 where somebody is celebrating the Giants winning. And as they say, "Go Giants," next to that sign, we see John 3:16. We see it as another person, golfer here, now is making another chip shot. And we see somebody in the background. Somebody's trying to hold up a banner. Somebody here is trying to hold up a sign. And so they're saying, trying to send a message to our world. Next slide. I don't know who this fellow is. Maybe you might know his name. But here he is celebrating a victory, a championship for Florida. And under his eyes, those words again. And ladies, I have something for you as well. It's not just in sports. You ladies ever shop here at Forever 21? You ever get a bag and look on the bottom of it? You'll see those words, John 3:16. We see it everywhere in the world. The Christians are trying to make an effort. I opened a bag of one of my favorite snacks the other day. It was smoked pork rinds. And I began to look at the bottom and they had this scripture, John 3:16. But what I'm concerned about, what about all the other John 3:16s? What about all the other scriptures should... I thank God in our major sporting events that there's somebody that's trying to send a message. Thank you, Tim Tebow, for standing up for something that's right. I wish he could hear this message today. I would give him honor today for standing up in such a world that's so backwards and so different. I'm so glad that we have somebody at least standing up and saying, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to see a major shopping network, a women's clothing store, print scripture on their bags. But what about the other 3:16s? What about 1 Timothy 3:16? Where it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels and preaching to the Gentiles and received up into glory." Have you ever seen that in a ball game, at a ball game or in a sports arena? Or have you ever seen a poster with this written on it? 2 Timothy 3:16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness."
That's right.
Have you ever seen that on a bumper sticker? Maybe about, what about this? What about the other John 3:16 found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, "Hereby perceive." Let me just break it down for you for a few moments. "Hereby we comprehend. Hereby we grasp the love of God. Because what? He laid down his life for us. That he bled and died and took a beating that you and I could have breath this morning." And the key to that verse is we ought to lay down our lives for the what? For the brethren. Who's holding up that banner? Who's holding up that sign? Who's willing to lay down their lives for a brother or for a sister? Let me just ask you this. Who is holding up Acts 2:38 in our world? I haven't seen it displayed at the Super Bowl. I haven't seen 1 John 3:16 at the World Series. I haven't seen Acts 4:12 at a golf event. Perhaps maybe it's because I don't go to those events and maybe you don't go there either. But the question is this morning, who's holding up the banners? You see, I know holding up a sign at a ball game probably is probably not going to be very effective. I understand that. Us Pentecostals understand that. But somehow, we have got to hold up the bloodstained banner of Calvary in the year 2014. Oh, there ought to have been a response right there. I said, somehow, we have got to hold up the bloodstained banner of Calvary in the year 2014. Let's clap our hands into the Lord right now. Hallelujah. The scripture that we've read in Psalms chapter 60, verse 4. Says that we have been given a banner. Another place in the Bible says it this way. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." I want you to think about that for a few moments. I want to think about where you was many years ago. For some of you, it may have been months ago. How that God picked you up. He took us who were thirsting. Us who were longing for something to satisfy our souls. And he brought us to his house. He brought us to his table. He grafted us in his vineyard. And a house, he brought us to a house that was loaded with food for the weary soul. And he placed us over us a banner of love. And we were now, because of that, because of his blood, and because of that, him adopting us, where we cried to him, Abba, Father. He has adopted us as sons and as daughters. And now we are no more outcasts, and we're no more aliens, but now we're joint heirs with Christ. Think about that for a few moments. A life that is daily loaded with benefits. His name is now over us because we were baptized in his name. I think it would be in order for a few moments this morning to give God some praise for taking us out of the miry clay and giving us life more abundant, for taking us out of the pits of sin and out of the pits of hell and putting a banner of love over us. Now our lives have meaning. Now our lives have substance. Now we're filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I believe we ought to be excited about that today. He's given to us a banner. He's given to us his love. We need to understand this morning that we are his banner to this world now. Scripture says in one place that we are his epistle, known and read of all men. The Bible in other places talks about how our responsibility as being a servant, how we are his hands and his feet. And we must display this to the world that we live in today. I know what some of you are thinking today. You're thinking like many men and ladies in Scripture. Perhaps thinking like Moses, who am I? God, I'm just an outcast on the backside of a desert right now. 40 years wandering around. God, I stutter. I'm inadequate. Or maybe you're like Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verse 15, whenever God began to talk to him about how he needs to get out from hiding and come out and be a mighty man of valor. And here Gideon and Judges is saying, you know, I'm the least of my household. You know, God, I think you got the wrong address. I think you got the wrong person. So I'm looking at people today, you're probably saying that, not me, I'm not a preacher. Not me, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Not me, I'm not a choir director. And I hear people saying this, these sayings, maybe you've heard them before, where they say, you know, I don't like being in the spotlight. But the truth is, the light of Jesus Christ is in you.
Yes, it is.
So you're already in the spotlight. And another passage in the gospel, Jesus, he said this to his disciples and to us today. He said, a man shouldn't hide his light under a bushel. It ought to be on display. He ought to put it up in a windowsill for everybody to see. He was talking about our lives. We should be a reflection of him. So you may say, well, I don't want to be in the spotlight. Well, the truth of the matter is, you're already in the spotlight. Maybe you say, I don't mix well in crowds. I'm introverted. But he's called us to be the salt of the earth. What is salt? Salt is a mixing agent. It changes everything. What would be gumbo without salt, huh? What would be crawfish that we're going to devour in just a few weeks from now? What would it be without salt, without all those seasoning? And that's what my question to the Pentecostals this morning is, what are we to this world? We're the salt. We're the seasoning. We're the flavor of this world. We should make a difference. We should mix well in crowds. We should go into the classrooms and make a difference. Amen. We should go into the workplace and say, hey, there's a better way to live. We should come into our churches and begin to worship and praise God and make an effect on everybody that's around. So I want to tell you today, we do mix well in crowds. Amen. Hallelujah. If the masses are going to be reached, it will be when we as a church, we as his bride, display to the world his banner of love.
Amen.
You see, it's time for the church to be vocal again.
Yes, it is.
Surely our cries can be louder than the wicked. If the masses can scream for 3 hours over their favorite team, surely we can praise our God loudly this morning.
Yes.
If the out athletes, let me calm down just a moment. If the athletes can tattoo all over their bodies their inspirations, surely the Pentecostals of Moss Bluff can bear the marks of Christ in their life. If the Muslims can bow down in the morning and put a towel out in the morning and look to the eastern sun, as it's rising, and begin to bow down and praise Allah. And then in the evening time, turn to the west and begin to praise their God. Surely the Pentecostals of Moss Bluff can praise our God to the rising of the sun, to the going down of the same. I believe it's a time for the church of the living God to stand up and raise up some banners. I believe it's time for the living church to stand up and declare Jesus as God. I believe it's time for the Moss Bluff Pentecostals to stand up and say, we love you, Jesus. We want this world to know there is a better way to live. Come on, worship the Lord for a few moments. Come on, praise is in order this morning. You know what we're doing right now? We're raising up a banner. You know what we're doing right now? We're raising up a flag. We're telling our God how important he is. I tell you what time it is. It's time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. For too long we've sat on the sidelines. For too long we've sat in between the pews and hadn't said anything. For too long we've been dormant and been passive. But not now, my friend. It's not the time to sit back. It's not a time to grip the pews. It's time to stand up and declare that we're going to have revival. I said it's time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. It's time for us to have restoration. It's time for us to reach our city. It's time for us to say something. It's time for us to say something. It's time to let the devil know we mean business. It's time for our prayers to rattle the gates of hell. It's time for our praise to ring in the rafters again. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say these words. Say something. Say something. Say something. Say something. Isaiah said it this way. He said in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 2. Y'all mind if I get out of my jacket? I'm getting hot. Clap your hands unto the Lord right now. In Isaiah chapter 13, verse 2, read these words that Isaiah says. Put it up on the screen, Sister Dina. He says, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain and exalt the voice unto them. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain and exalt the voice unto them. What was he saying? I'm going to read you another version. For this is what Isaiah said. He says, run up a flag upon an open hill. And he says in the Message version, yell loud and get their attention. He says, wave them into formation. That's what Isaiah was saying. He was telling him, he says, get a banner up. Get a flag up. Let the world know, hey, I'm still alive and reign. Let the world know that the Holy Ghost is for them. Let the world know there's a better way to live. He said, get up on an open hill and shout with your voice. Exalt unto them my grace. Tell them about my love. Tell them about my truth. Come on, Moss Bluff Pentecostals. Where are you at this morning? We need to lift up a banner unto our God today. What happens when we become vocal? What happens when we wave a banner for all to see? I'll tell you what happens. It gets somebody's attention. That's what it does. You see, when a group of people who before were distracted with problems and chaos, now when a flag is being waved, they come into formation. An army that was perhaps confused and disoriented now see the banner begin to wave and the flag being lifted, and it brings their mind back to, oh yeah, we have a mission. I tell you what happens when you see a flag waving. You know what I see, Brother Mahoney? It tells me we're still in the battle. Amen. It tells me that we're still winning. When somebody's waving a flag, when somebody cries out to their God, when somebody goes down in Jesus' name, when somebody receives the gift of the Holy Ghost for the first time in their pews, you know what happens? A flag starts going up. Something lets us know, hey, there's still souls to reach. There's still a world that's out there that's lost and dying. And then they need to see a bloodstained banner waving high. You see, whenever Pentecostals raise their hands and shout praises to God, things just have a way of coming together. Distractions disappear. Doubt leaves the building. Worries cease. Fear is departed. The enemy doesn't want flag bearers. The enemy doesn't want us to get vocal. The enemy wants us to be content. But God is looking for flag bearers. God is looking for people that will wave a banner. God is looking for a people that will lift up His banner high and exalt their voices and exalt their praises until something happens in their life. What does Mark chapter 16, verse 17 say? What's it say? And these signs shall follow them that believe. What signs? They're going to cast out devils in My name. They're going to speak with new tongues. They're going to lay their hands on people and they shall recover. Signs should always follow believers.
That's right.
And I know what he's meaning here. He's talking about miracles, signs, and wonders. But in context of this message this morning, I believe there ought to be some signs.
Amen.
Shouldn't His Word be in our conversations?
Yes.
Shouldn't we put on the whole armor of God every day?
Every day?
Shouldn't there be the fruit of the Spirit displayed to a hurting world?
Absolutely.
You see, I had to believe that there's got to be something visible. There's got to be something seen in the world that we live in. You see, we live in a media-driven society.
Yes, we do.
Everything, even the billboards now, have lights on it. They change every few seconds. We live in a world that on the internet, on your phone, in your home, they always are constantly putting something in front of our eyes. And so where is the church? Where are we at? What are we putting in front of the world today? Are we bearing the banners? Are we showing signs? Something's got to be heard. There's got to be a clear and certain sound to be made. A banner has to be flying, a wave. A flag has to be waving, a life that is not bended by the storms of this life, but a life that's yielding to the Spirit of Almighty God. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 18. God looked down and He heard the cry of the wicked. And the Bible says it was so great that what was verse 21? What did He say He do? He came down. If the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah could capture God's attention, that He would look down and He would come down to this earth and see what was going on. Let's go back a little bit further, I believe. There's another story when men got together and decided they were going to build a tower up into the heavens. And it got God's attention because they came together. And the Lord Scripture said that He came down and He looked to see what was going on. And He confounded their languages. What would happen if a church would catch on fire in the year 2014, Brother Tommy? And start shouting praises unto God. Start telling about His goodness in our world. Every day displaying banners. Every day displaying signs. Every day going to the hospital and laying our hands on somebody and say, I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and be healed.
Yes.
Someone would not be ashamed to wave His banner up high. You see, we need some flag bearers. We need some believers with signs. We need some prayer warriors to be vocal. You see, one person cannot do it. Let's look back at our opening text this morning. Psalms chapter 60, verse 4. Let's read it aloud together. Read it slowly. Thou. Stop right there. Thou hast given a banner to. Key word here. Notice that word right there on the end. It's not Jim, Brother Vanover. It's not Tim, Brother Baggett, or Pastor Mahoney, it's them that fear Thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. One man can't do it alone. I've got signs right now in my hand, and I can't display them to all of you because I only have two hands, and one of them is already taken, holding up this mic. But what I want to know is who's going to help me this morning raise up some banners. Thank you, Brother Tim. There's somebody right there. You see how effective this is? You see how there? Thank you, Brother Gary. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sonia. Give that to Sister Sonia. Thank you, Brother John. I wish I had about 100 of these this morning. Thank you, Brother. Thank you, Brother Chang. That's what we need to do to our world. Quit relying on your pastor. Quit relying on the youth pastor. Start making some signs up. Start making some t-shirts up. Start making some bumper stickers. Start talking about our God. Start letting the people of Lost Bluff know, hey, there's a church that's going to hold up some bloodstained banners as we all stand this morning. Hallelujah. 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 They're getting ready to sing. On Thursday, God gave me this message in the month of December. And I've been wanting to preach it for so long. But on Thursday afternoon, I already had confirmation from God about this message. But on Thursday afternoon, I looked up on Fox News as I often do every day. And on the Fox News website, there was an article entitled, "Have Christians Lost the Cultural War?" You need to go back on Thursday and look at this. Anybody read that article? Good. Because I'm going to tell you a little bit about that article. This was not published, to my knowledge, by a Christian writer. But he began to interview pastors. One pastor he interviewed, he pastored the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, and named Robert Jeffries. He said these words, and I quote, he said, "Unless Christians stand up and confront the political process, I fear we will lose our religious liberty." Jim Phillips, another Baptist pastor in Mississippi, said this, he had this to say, not a Pentecostal. "Sadly, Christians have wimped out and grown silent instead of being bolder for the gospel of Jesus Christ." There was more things written. I don't have time to share with you this morning. You need to go back and read this article. And when I read it, it just put more fuel to this fire that's burning within me this morning. This fire that's raging inside of me that says it's time for the worshipers to rise. It's time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. It's time for us to begin to hold up the blood-stained banner of Calvary. You know why it's so important? He said in these scriptures there was a banner given to us. In Psalms chapter 60 and verse 4. He said it should be displayed because of the truth. If we will learn to hold up the truth. You got to read the next verse. He says, because, I'm going to read it for you. He says, whenever we hold up the banner that he's given to us, it says in verse 5, that thy beloved may be delivered. Deliverance will come. I got a message for somebody today. Deliverance is going to come when you hold up the banner that he's given to you. And you hold it up for no other reason but because of the truth. Brother Doug, I hold up this banner this morning because it's the truth. Every sign that you see, we're going to believe in this. We believe in this church. But it's time for us to share it with others. It's time for us to let the world know there's a better way to live. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hold up some banners. I don't know about you, but as they begin to sing this morning, I wish you would get out of your pew this morning and say, "Hey, I'm with you, preacher. Hey, I'm with you, pastor. Hey, I'm with you, youth leader. Hey, I'm with you, choir director. Hey, I want to hold up some banner. How about a young person? How about a young married couple? How about a young adult? How about an elder? Will you join with us today as we raise up the banner of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Come on and worship the Lord for a few moments.